no surprise, obviously, for any of us that this ultimately got done. Is there any surprise that it took this long, or do you think it was just a matter of trying to still work out all the minor details before, you know, making it official?
It was certainly hinted at pretty broadly. I mean, I think in training camp, Masai said, you know, we're sealing this. I would consider that done soon enough. And I don't even think it was a case of a tough negotiation. Maybe some details, maybe some timing. And also, you know, maybe, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know this, but, you know, you want to time these things. You don't know what's going on internally at MLSE in terms of what they're doing with, you know, you look at some of the layoffs and things like that. You got to be, I think, a little bit careful when these things kind of, you know, you got to be sensitive to some of the timing, the times we're in, I suppose. So that's probably all in that mix, but I don't know that for sure.
Michael, I guess the next question people have is, okay, so what's happening with Masai? I mean, this is kind of a team. Masai has assembled this team, and he seems to have looked after everybody that's been on his team, and he's kind of the last one. Is that maybe as a true kind of captain would do it? You know, I'll eat last. You guys go ahead. The rumors are swirling out there again, but just your thoughts on, you know, Bobby's been signed now. And as you said, we were all, you know, it was kind of widely hinted at and we were just kind of waiting for the timing, but this one's not, and there's still some questions out there about it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a couple of different ways to look at it. And the last, I think it was in the summer when Masai was asked about this stuff, he kind of made the point. He wanted to take care of his staff first. And, you know, Nick Nurse got done and Bobby's been done. And I think pretty much that whole executive / management team was, you know, going to be, was coming within the last year of their deal. And so I think there was I think Masai said as much, that he wanted to do exactly what you've said, is be, you know, make sure everything else is taken care of. And I've kind of written this as well, that, you know, as much as Masai remaining unsigned, you know, there's a bunch of different factors that go into that. But part of it is leverage. Part of it is, you are in a pandemic, and it would be not unreasonable for an organization to look for opportunities to pare back or find reasons to, you know, to kind of keep their powder dry, so to speak. And you know, I think by having his deal, not that it's done, but having it still out there, you know, it puts a little bit of pressure. You know, we've seen players do this, right? We've seen LeBron James and the like do this, where they keep pressure on the organization to keep pushing, keep improving, and taking care of, you know, the most important people to winning. So, you know, but that's one way to look at it. It's certainly a factor. Another way to look at it is succession planning, right? Like, I mean, you know, if Masai Ujiri does want to become a free agent, and these, you know, certainly indications are that that's something that's interesting to him, you know, he can leave the organization in good conscience. Like, you know, it's better than it was when he found it, and people are under contract, people are taken care of. There are the thing, the organization wouldn't stop if he wasn't here. So, you know, kind of, you can kind of look at it both ways. But, you know, I think the short answer is I'm not aware of anything new on this. The two sides, as of early December, hadn't met formally to negotiate a deal as it relates to Masai Ujiri. MLSC would have done that deal any day. And so the fact that it hasn't been done yet is really reflects, you know, the priorities of Masai and what those priorities reflect. You know, we're kind of guessing it to a certain extent.
Speaking with Michael Grange from Sportsnet, Michael, I do want to get back to Bobby specifically, you know, in terms of the news of the day. Again, in the last 15, 20 minutes, if you're just tuning in, Bobby Webster signed to a multi-year contract extension as general manager of the Raptors. But staying on the Masai path for a second, as you just kind of noted, it would seem like this is more, his decision in a sense right now. If he was willing to sign or ready to sign, MLSE and ownership would have done so probably months ago. Again, I'm assuming.
Definitely.
Okay, definitely then. What do you think the holdup may be? Is it more money? Would he, if he was even able to get it from Larry Tannenbaum / Bell / Rogers, does he want ownership? What could you dangle in front of Masai Ujiri, you think, that would ultimately lead him to say tomorrow, next week, next month, yep, okay, I'm ready to go, here we go, let's sign it? What do you think would be the holdup right now?
The furthest I've kind of delved into this, I wrote about this in as much depth as I could back December 5th. And not to, rehash a 3,000-word article in 5 minutes here, but the gist of that was Masai Ujiri's always prized flexibility. He understands his value. And I think there's a couple, he's proceeding on a couple of parallel tracks. One is, as we were kind of alluding to, he wants to make sure that the organization he would be committing, not the prime of his career, but, a good significant portion of his key years of his professional career are that they're aligned, that, they haven't kind of got a championship and got complacent, that they haven't, kind of looked around at the NBA and you just look at kind of luxury tax bills that a franchise like Golden State has taken on and kind of gone, wow, I don't know if we're willing to play in that kind of league. Compete, I guess is the word. I think that's one thing that would be an issue for him. There has been changes at the board level over the past year. And so making sure that there's alignment at the corporate level for what his vision of what, a championship contending NBA team looks like. I think there is an awareness that, just like any player, like these opportunities to really explore the market, really explore your value, explore opportunities don't come around all that often. And I think the fact that he hasn't signed, I think he's, the longer he pushes it out, the more opportunities he has to examine, opportunities that might be out there or that aren't, that, you don't even know that are there until they arrive. And so, you want to do that. And in terms of what would move him or motivate him, and I did touch on this in the article, is, it's not going to be money per se, right? Because he's going to get paid here too. There's not a, it's not like he would be trying to create a bidding war, but, could it be that, there's a small handful of really high profile franchises that might be an attractive challenge as you're heading into, your prime years as an executive? Or similarly, maybe there's franchises out there that might not be on the radar otherwise, but maybe they're willing to provide some kind of ownership opportunity that would be kind of unique and different. And also you've got expansion on the horizon. Adam Silver sort of said as much. When I wrote that article, I talked to Tim Lewicki. Tim Lewicki is the guy who recruited Masai Ujiri to Toronto. Tim Lewicki is running the organization that is launching the Kraken in Seattle in the NHL. It's very obvious that that's going to be, if and when expansion comes along, it's almost inconceivable that Seattle won't get a team. So you can kind of try and connect some dots there. So there's just a lot of things that, that are probably going into a decision like this. And, when I kind of drew it all out, my conclusion based on not any hard single source, but just as you sort of try and look through all the information you've gathered, is I wouldn't be surprised if Masai Ujiri does re-sign in Toronto. I would think that it might be, a shorter term deal that gives him some flexibility for the future. And, the negotiation wouldn't necessarily be over dollars specifically, but more things like what kind of flexibility he might have if an opportunity comes, what kind of outs there might be, what kind of non-compete language might be in there in terms of, if he did want to pull up stakes. So, you know, those are the things that are kind of going on, and the timing, and if that's changed since I wrote about this back in December, I can't really tell you.
Interesting, Michael, and you know, getting back to the whole thing with Bobby, he was an integral part of, you know, building the championship team. We just had Stu Jackson on, who, you know, had high praise for Bobby's smarts, his intelligence, his ability to help build a team. And, you know, we know that he had a lot to do with the Kawhi trade and bringing Kawhi Leonard to Toronto. Going forward, let's a game that we hate to play, but let's play the if game. If Masai is not here and a new president comes in, how valuable does that now make Bobby, having, you know, been in the car and driven the car at times and knowing the inner workings of the car when there's a new president?
Oh, very valuable. I mean, you know, an organization is only as good as the people in it. And, you know, I think we focus a lot on Masai Ujiri and his influence on player evaluation and selection. Well, you know, a lot of people are doing a lot of the heavy lifting, not for him, but with him. And you know, and I think Bobby Webster is the person who helps assemble that group, who helps organize that group, who, you know, helps act on the information that group provides. And, you know, I think he's established himself as, you know, a very high-level GM in the league. And there was a reason when Chicago was looking, with Bobby Webster's name came up, and, you know, and would have continued to come up in other openings were, did this deal not get done? So, it's an interesting question, right, in the absence of a team president and as, you know, as big a figure as Masai Ujiri is, you know, would you not elevate Bobby Webster? Would you, you know, what would you do to fill that role? But I think in terms of your basketball operations, I think the team would be in good hands with Bobby Webster and the team that worked with him.
Michael, this may or may not be a silly question. When you're looking at ownership, when you're looking at the board for MLSE, listen, decisions need to be made, contracts need to be signed, you still have to run your team, you can't just sit here and wait and wait and wait for 6 months, 8 months, 12 months for a decision to be made on your president. But in saying that, I'm not sitting here thinking that they have a deal done or that they know it's going to happen or whatever. Would you think that there's either some positive signs or some optimism, or am I being too wishy-washy? You're thinking that if you're allowing a president, a GM, and his management team to go out and sign Fred VanVleet to an $85 million deal, to sign OG Anunoby over the course of the last year, to sign Pascal Siakam, to sign Nick Nurse, to now sign Bobby Webster to take care of people in the front office. Are you going to, you know, allow your president? Yeah, he's still your president. He's still got the keys. Are you going to allow him to do this and to spend all this money if you don't have some sort of inkling that, all right, he is going to be around to see this through? Am I making sense in terms of, like, are you going to allow the guy to just continue to run things?
No, it's a sound question. I mean, all I can tell you is that you know, they signed Fred VanVleet and Chris Boucher and Aaron Baines and did all that work in the off season without any assurance that Masai Ujiri was going to be back after this year, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was all in November, and as of early December, they hadn't had a formal negotiation with Masai Ujiri since the previous February, I believe. And even, you know, even then, I don't even know if you could call it a formal negotiation. So, you know, I think things are running as they are. And, you know, and I think, you know, I said things could have changed as of yesterday. I just don't know. But, you know, I think my understanding is there was a willingness, at least on the part of, put it this way, I think if they, like we said off the top, I can guarantee you if MLSE wanted to sign, you know, could have signed Masai Ujiri by now, they would have. And the fact that they haven't, that I know of, up until now, suggests that it's Masai Ujiri's choice to perhaps extend this and get to or close to free agency for his own purposes. Does that mean he's not coming back? No. Does that mean it could change or has changed already as we speak? It could. But I think, you know, from if you're owning this team, you know, I think you, all you can do is kind of wait. And if he is somebody you want as part of your organization, you have to wait. And I do think it's analogous to what we've seen really, really big name free agent players do. I mean, at a certain point, you just have to wait. You're on their timetable. If you value them that much, there's not much you can do to change their timetable. And that's just how it rolls.